What if you could fight a war 1,000 times before it ever began? Imagine a battlefield where every variable, every piece of equipment, every soldier has a perfect, living, digital counterpart. A mirror world where strategies are tested, failures are analyzed, and victories are rehearsed in the virtual realm long before anyone is in harm's way.
It sounds like something straight out of science fiction, doesn't it? But it's not. This is the world of digital twins, and it's poised to completely redefine modern warfare. Welcome, everyone, to the Mirage Makers.
And this topic is not. Well, it's one that's been on my mind for a while. I've always been fascinated by military strategy, the chess match of it all. But the idea of giving one side a crystal ball, a way to simulate the future, that changes the entire game.
Yeah, for me, it's the technology itself. I've followed the rise of digital twins in manufacturing, in city planning, creating these incredible virtual models to optimize everything from a jet engine to an entire electrical grid. But applying that same concept to the chaos and unpredictability of a conflict zone, that's a monumental leap. The implications are just staggering.
Exactly. And that's what we're here to unravel today. We're not just talking about better simulators for training. We're talking about creating a living, breathing digital replica of the entire battle space, updated in real time, a true mirage of the battlefield.
And with it comes a whole host of questions. How could this revolutionize military operations? What are the incredible benefits, but also, what are the profound risks and ethical challenges? We have some incredible minds joining us to explore just that, folks who are right at the forefront of this technological shift. So stick with us because we're about to look at the future of warfare, and it is nothing like we've ever seen before.
And let's really dig into that idea of a living replica, because that's the fundamental shift, isn't it? The traditional simulator, that's a closed system. You program the variables, you run the scenario, you see what happens. It's a powerful tool, but it's based on assumptions.
It's a forecast based on historical data, but this is different. This is about mirroring reality second by second. The amount of data required for that is, well, it's almost incomprehensible.
Right, we're not just talking about satellite imagery. We're talking about a constant stream of information from everything. Drones providing real-time terrain data, sensors on vehicles tracking fuel and ammo, even biometric data from individual soldiers.
Whoa, hang on. Biometric data? You mean a commander could theoretically see the fatigue levels or heart rates of their entire platoon on a screen?
Theoretically, yes. That's the ultimate vision for some. To have a twin so detailed, it doesn't just model the equipment, it models the human element. It could tell you squad B's approaching exhaustion. Their combat effectiveness will drop by 20% in the next hour if they don't get rest.
That's scary. I mean, the tactical advantage is obvious. You could manage your forces with a precision that's never been possible. But the infrastructure to support that kind of data flow in a contested environment where communications are being jammed, it seems like a monumental challenge.
It's a huge challenge, but they're starting smaller. They're not building the entire battle space twin overnight. Think about it on the asset level. The Air Force is already doing this with individual aircraft.
Oh, for predictive maintenance, right? I've read about this. An F-35 has a digital twin that mirrors its physical counterpart through its entire life cycle.
Exactly. So every flight hour, every stress put on the airframe, it's all logged and simulated on the twin. The system can then say, based on this specific turbulence over the North Atlantic, the fatigue on this specific component means it's now 50% more likely to fail.
So you're fixing problems before they even exist. You're taking the guesswork out of logistics entirely.
Completely. Now imagine scaling that up. You don't just have a twin of a jet, you have a twin of the entire carrier group. The twin knows the maintenance status of every plane, the fuel levels of every ship, the munitions inventory, all updated in real time. A logistics officer could run a simulation. What happens if we launch a full sortie in 6 hours? Do we have the fuel, the manpower, the munitions?
And the system gives them a definitive answer in seconds. It's not just a strategic tool, it's a profound logistical one. It removes the fog of war from your own side of the board. But that brings up a terrifying thought. What if your opponent can manipulate that data? What if they can hack the Mirage?
That's the nightmare scenario, isn't it? That is the Achilles heel of this entire concept. Because if you build your entire strategy, your entire logistical chain, on a system you believe to be infallible, the moment it's compromised, you're not just blind, you're actively being deceived.
It's worse than being blind. It's like having someone else's hands on your steering wheel, guiding you right off a cliff. Hacking the Mirage isn't just about crashing the system, is it? It's about
poisoning it.
That's the term they use, data poisoning. You don't launch a massive cyber attack that announces itself. No. You subtly feed the twin incorrect information.
You make one of your tank columns invisible to its sensors. Or, even more deviously, you create a ghost platoon. You make the system believe there's a threat where there is none.
So you could force your enemy to divert real valuable resources, fuel, manpower, attention, to chase a phantom that only exists as bits and bytes in their own system. My God, the level of misdirection would be unprecedented.
Think about the cascade effect. The twin sees this ghost platoon. It automatically recalculates ammunition needs for the sector. It reroutes supply convoys. It puts real soldiers on high alert, burning through their stamina. All for nothing. You're waging war on their logistics, on their readiness, without ever engaging them directly.
But wouldn't there be? I don't know, checks and balances? A human in the loop who says, wait a minute, satellite imagery isn't confirming this ghost platoon?
But what if the hack is sophisticated enough to alter the satellite feed that the human is looking at? What if it spoofs the drone data? If the twin is designed to integrate all the data into one cohesive picture, a skilled attacker isn't just changing one pixel, they're rewriting the entire canvas the commander is looking at.
So the very strength of the system, its ability to synthesize everything into a single source of truth, becomes its greatest vulnerability?
Precisely. It creates a single point of failure for their perception of reality. And this is where it gets really frightening. Let's go back to that biometric data we mentioned.
Oh no, don't tell me they could hack that.
Why not? Imagine you're an adversary. You don't just create a ghost platoon. You hack the biometric feed and make it look like the enemy's most elite unit is exhausted, on the verge of collapse. You feed their commander data showing his best soldiers are combat ineffective.
And the commander, trusting the data, pulls them from a critical defensive position, replacing them with a less experienced unit, right before the real attack begins at that exact spot. You're not just tricking the commander, you're using his own soldiers' data as the weapon.
It's weaponized information in its most potent form. It turns a tool of clarity into an engine of paranoia. How can you trust anything? How can you trust the fuel gauge on a tank, the location of your own troops, the physical state of your soldiers, if you know the very system telling you all this might be lying?
You can't. It introduces a fundamental doubt that would be crippling. The fog of war was always about the unknown. This creates a fog of the known. A world where every piece of information you have is suspect, that feels almost impossible to operate in.
And that's the real psychological operation, isn't it? It's not just about fooling a commander for an hour to win a skirmish. It's about permanently degrading their ability to trust their own senses, their own reality, to make them second-guess every single piece of information they receive until their entire decision-making process grinds to a halt.
It's a complete paralysis, and it brings up a strange, almost ironic paradox. We're creating this technology for the ultimate clarity, to eliminate uncertainty, but in doing so, we're creating a new, more insidious kind of uncertainty.
Mm. One that comes from within your own systems. And it forces a question that military thinkers haven't had to ask in this way before. When the data is suspect, what do you trust? Do you fall back on? On gut instinct? On the experience of the commanders on the ground?
Which is everything this technology was designed to move away from. The whole point was to replace fallible human intuition with cold, hard, real-time data. But if that data can be turned into a lie, then maybe that human element becomes the last line of defense.
The ultimate firewall. The person who can look at the perfect data on the screen and say, no, that doesn't feel right. I've been in this valley before, and that's not how the enemy moves. That's a fascinating thought.
It is. I guess, for me, the thing I keep coming back to is the sheer fragility of it all. We see this vision of an omniscient, all-powerful command system, but it feels like it's built on a foundation of glass. One sophisticated crack, and the whole illusion shatters.
I see it a bit differently, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's less about fragility and more about a new domain of conflict. The race is no longer just about who has the better jet or the bigger ship. It's about who has the more resilient twin. Who is better at digital forensics, at spotting the poison in the data stream, at hardening their mirage against attack?
So it's an arms race for reality itself. That's a chilling final thought. It's not about shells and missiles, but about who gets to define what's real on the battlefield.
Who can best defend their version of the truth? I think that's what this entire technological leap boils down to. It's a powerful, almost seductive tool that offers a God's eye view, but it comes with a vulnerability that is profound and, as you said, deeply unsettling.
Profound is the right word. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. We've gone from the promise of a perfectly clear battlefield to the terrifying prospect of a weaponized reality. It's a topic we'll undoubtedly be returning to.
Thank you all for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's given you a new lens through which to view the future of conflict.
This has been the Mirage Makers. Until next time, stay curious, and maybe trust your gut. Take care, everyone.